Okay, thank you, Pastor. All right, folks, good to be out with you in the freezing cold when we all could have been home. But glad to be here, and it's a good reason to come and focus on missions and remind ourselves of the importance of what we do and why we need to just stay faithful in our giving and in our praying. And stay faithful to the cause of mission in your hearts and your minds as well. You know, as I look around, I notice that a lot of the people here in the church are looking older. And then I realize I'm one of them. And we've some of us have been at this for quite a while. But I'm particularly thankful for you that you've just stayed with the stuff and you've kept going. And I'm thankful for new people who've come to the church. We believe that if you're here at the church, the Holy Spirit has placed you here, and you have a purpose, and God wants to do some things for you, but He wants to do some things through you as well. I'm not going to preach tonight. I'll do some of that tomorrow, Lord willing, but I just want to tell you a story and maybe just give you a couple of things to think about. I was meditating on this thought, and I wrote down this thought. There is no significant event in your life that does not have a purpose or a lesson or a value of some kind. And maybe just digest that a little bit. There has been no significant event in your life that does not have a purpose or a lesson or value of some kind. That is not to say that if something bad has happened to you, God did that to you. But what it is saying, it's saying that God has an ability to take things that are sometimes bad or troubling or sad or distressing. And God has an ability to take those things and to bring from it something that can be good and valuable and helpful and purposeful. Does that make sense? I don't know why we blame God for the things that sin brings upon the world and upon us, because God is the one who's never sinned, but we have. So, you know, we don't need to be blaming God for what happens. A lot of things happen just because of the presence of sin in our life and also sin in the world. And, you know, if you know a little bit of your Bible, you know that sickness came through sin and other things. So, but God uses the events in our life. One of the things I've found on the mission field is that sometimes I will get to people and I'll find that before I got there, already God was working in their life and was preparing them and working around them and using the circumstances of their life to get them to a place where they were going to become receptive to the gospel. Now, I don't want to go and say that God did those things to those people. Some of those people have been through terrible things, but God has used the circumstances of their life. And what will happen is sometimes a missionary will get to a place and you'll come across somebody, and this has happened many times. It's not every time, but it's many times. You'll come across somebody, and then after they come to Christ, their story will come out. And you will just be really surprised and moved, and you ponder just what God was doing in their life and using the events of their life. So this happened a few times with us. I have a picture, if it can go up, and that young Thai man there is in his early 20s. His Thai name is Sararat, but he's now taken the name James. And he's one of the people that kind of had a story like that. And what happened with this boy was James had an older brother, a couple of years older than him. And he had a dad, and they lived in a sort of a not semi-poor Thai family. They had a home, but very basic, on a little block of land. James's mother had died already, and they were Buddhist, and they were living the life that normal Thai people live, very common in Thailand. And what happens with the young people in Thailand is it's very common for them to start drinking, you know, in their teenage years, and sometimes from drink they progress to other things, but drinking is very common. They hang out in groups in, I don't want to say gangs, in a sort of bikie gang sense, they have some of that, but they kind of hang out in groups. One village will fight another village, and the longer you're there, you sort of get to just understand how their life plays out, how their cultural stuff happens and what they do. So James had a dad, he had an older brother, he had himself, and what happened just a few years ago was that James's older brother was drinking heavily with a group of friends, and James was younger than this picture, so he would have been 4 or 5 years ago. And James's brother got into an argument with his friends in the town, in the village. And so he, in a drunken stupor, decided in a moment of anger to get in the car and to drive at speed and kill these people. So he got in the car, and this is James's older brother. He got in the car and, you know, wasn't that far from the friends, and started the car at revs and started screaming towards to kill these people. And James's father saw what was going on and was distressed and ran out waving his hands, crying for the boy to stop. And he had James beside him. And the older brother plowed into those people and he killed his dad. And he nearly killed James, and he injured a lot of the others. James was taken to hospital. They didn't think he would live. The dad was dead. The boy was arrested, the older brother was arrested by the police. The injured people took action against the boy and the brother and the family who'd done this. And so the little home that they did have and the little bit of land they did have, they lost it all. It was all taken and used for paying the injuries of the people that the older brother had hurt. So the older brother was put in prison. The father was dead. The mother was dead. James survived after months in a Thai hospital, got out, was intellectually affected, mentally damaged through the accident. And his only sibling, his brother, was in the prison. There's no social security of any kind in Thailand. There's no welfare. There's no one to go to. If you don't have a home, you don't have a family, you don't have anywhere, you don't have anything. So James came out of his hospital experience, realized he'd lost his dad, he'd lost his brother, he'd lost their home, everything was gone. A few months after James's older brother got in prison, he called James. He got to make a phone call, and he called James and he said, "James, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything that happened, but here in the prison, I found Jesus." And James said, "Who is Jesus?" And he said, "James, listen to me. Jesus is the Savior. He died for our sins. I've believed on him, I've trusted him." And he said, "James, listen to me, you've got to get this, you've got to find this." And he said, "Go somewhere, find a church, find something, find people somewhere that can tell you, go looking for this." And so James had, you know, not much food, he didn't look anything like this. By the way, none of them ever arrived looking like that. And so one day, from the street, James walked past the church and looked and thought this might have been what his brother was talking about. And he came in and he asked, "Was this a place where somebody could tell him about Jesus. And he, James received Christ as his own Savior. He was wonderfully saved and very, very authentically saved. He told his brother that he had been saved also. The brother said, James, stay with the church and serve God. And he said, I'll be out in a few years and we will serve God together. And I will come to you and we will live our life the rest of our years and we will serve the Lord. Of course, we didn't know any of that when James came in and wanted to be saved, but the story came out. And I was just sitting with him. I was very moved to just spend some time with him. You know, many times on the field, God is working in people's lives. The only thing missing is the presence of the missionary or somebody to tell the story of Christ. So God will not use an angel to do that. No angel was going to lead James to Christ. It had to be a person. That's God's way. And so the only thing that would have been missing would have been if James couldn't have found anyone and nobody had been there. And so I guess I want to say God is working, and I've come across this kind of thing multiple times, and Miss Unruh just shared a story with me at the table which was very similar, just God working. I've come across this many times. I was with a man 2 months ago, and I said, I hadn't met him before. I said he was clearly living for the Lord. I said, how did you, he was a Baptist. He was in one of our other churches. I said, how did you get saved? And he said, I was wicked. He said, I lived a terrible life. And he said, I did a lot of bad things. And he said, I had no doubt I was going to hell. This was a Thai. He said, I knew I was going to hell. He was Buddhist. He said, I knew I was going to hell. So he said, I decided that the only thing I could do was to go and become a monk and get into the temple. So he went through the ritual of, the shaving the head and putting on the orange robe and moving into the temple. And I said, how long were you there? He said, 8 years. And so he stayed in the temple for 8 years, doing all that they do. And he said, one day, he said, I was still concerned about my sin. It didn't seem like it had gone. And he said, I went to the head senior monk, who was one of our teachers, and I said to him, he said, I sat at his feet, as they do, and I asked him, what can I do to get rid of my sin, to stop sinning? What can I do? And he said, he just sort of smiled and said, nobody can do anything. Just try to do your best. We all sin. Just, it's nothing you can do. And he said, when I heard that, I realized nothing is going to help me. This is not helping me. There's no point. So he left. He handed in the orange robe. He walked out of the temple. And he said, I decided I'm already on my way to hell. I'm just going to go and sin and just live the life I don't want to live, because I know where I'm going anyway. There's nothing I can do. And he said, so I was much worse when I came out than when I came in. And he said, I got sick from drugs and alcohol. And he said, I knew that I'm coming to an end. So he said, I returned to my home village to just see out my last few years of sinning before I went to hell. And he said, I was around some people there, and he said, they had some workers, and I would drink with the workers. He said, but one of the ladies, the lady of the house, she said to me, we have a church here. How about on Sunday you come and join us for a church service, one of our church plants in the north? And he said, I told her, yeah, one day. He said, but in my mind, one day was never going to happen. One day meant no day. That's what he said. He said, one day. And he would just drink with the workers. And he said, I'd lost track of time. I was drunk. He said, I turned up there on a Sunday morning. And he said, I didn't know it was Sunday. And I said, and she came out and said, oh, none of the men are here today. They're not working here today. It's Sunday. And he said, oh, and she said, well, actually, you're here now, so you could come to the church this morning. And he said, I went, And he said, I tried to think of something I could say, but I was right there in the church. And so he said, So he said, I went over to the church. This was a Thai. And he said, I'm sitting in the church. And he said, they didn't even have a preacher. They put on a tape they listened to, a CD. And everyone sat around a speaker. This is one of our churches in the north that we need to find a pastor for still. And he said, I heard the man preaching. And he said, the man preaching said, all have sinned. And he said, I thought, yeah, and you've sinned too. And he said, just as I thought that, he said, and I've sinned too. And he said, when I heard him say that, I thought, oh. And he said, I listened. And he heard the gospel that day. And that day, he at the end of the message, he said to the people, I need to be saved. What do I do? And they said, well, we're not sure. We've all just got saved too. I think you better call someone. And he said, well, who do I call? And they said, well, here's the number of the pastor that we call. Call him and maybe he can help you. And so he called and was able to be led to Christ. And that man is now in ministry, serving the Lord. And I'm just saying there's stuff going on all over the world where God is working. The only thing missing is the person with the message. And you can think God's not working, but he can be working in the people around you, and you have no idea what's going on in their life. You have no idea what's going through their mind. You know that youth suicide rates in Australia have just gone through the roof. Mental health now in Australia is just at extraordinary levels. And they have no answer. They've got nothing to offer except let's put more funding into it, let's do something. But nobody's looking at the causes. People can be much more open than you realize, but the devil has convinced you to go quiet. And what we need to do is speak up, because there are people out there like these people and the many more stories like this that God has already been working. But what he won't do, he won't preach the gospel. You have to do that. So we need to keep sending missionaries. Honestly, you get with these people, and it's incredibly moving. And there's many stories like him. And you just realize extraordinary things. One of the ladies up there, Dio's wife, F, her mother... Her dad was in the army. Her mother got cancer when F was 12 years old. F was the only child. And her father never used to drink, but when the mother got sick with terminal cancer, the father couldn't handle it, and he became an alcoholic, so he never came home. So F, as a 12-year-old, used to sleep under the hospital bed on the cement with her mum in the bed to wash her, to tend her. And F said, as her mother was dying of cancer, they had her home for a while, and the mother's mother, so F's grandma, said, I'll come to the house and help you care for her. And F said, my grandma came, and she was there one day, and she slipped on the cement and hit her head and died. And so F buried grandma, and then 2 months later, mother died. And then dad was an alcoholic, and he didn't come home. So F was on her own, and she was one of the ones, hi, thank you for in that video there. But again, a soul winner, we got to F with the gospel, and all the events of her life had prepared her for the gospel, for Jesus. So what we do is still very important. And please don't get service fatigue or giving fatigue, or please don't get over it. Please keep your heart tender to the need, and be part of the process, giving, going, telling, talking. God is still working. God hasn't stopped. It just seems like many of us have stopped. But we do need to keep going. So thank you for what you do. Let's plan for a good day in church tomorrow. If the Lord comes first, we will have a better day, won't we? But But otherwise, let's plan for a good day tomorrow. Prepare your heart tomorrow before you get to church. Tomorrow's not a day for other things. Just lay that aside now and pray and prepare yourself and plan tomorrow to hear from God and be ready for that. Settle yourself, settle your family, settle your children. Get ready and let's plan to hear from the Lord tomorrow. And let God speak to our hearts, because I'm sure there's things he wants to say to all of us. Pastor, thank you.